All right, how's everybody doing? Welcome to Friday. We made it to Friday. I am Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, ChicagoJazz.com, and Chicago Music Revealed. Of course, you are listening to Chicago Music Revealed right here on Chicago Jazz Magazine's Facebook page, Chicago Music Revealed's Facebook page, and Blues in Chicago's Facebook page. I knew we could make it here. This is, of course, our Friday blues feature day, and we're going to co-host this with Dave Katzman, who's on the phone here, and I'm going to bring him on in a second with a blues legend. Jimmy Johnson's going to be joining us. We are going to be talking about Chicago blues, the blues scene, what's been happening during the COVID-19 situation, a lot of good blues stories from the past, and all about Jimmy's incredible history. Before we get to that, one quick reminder, you can get all of the past interviews and all of the past shows. This is episode 61 here at Chicago Music Revealed. You can get them all over on ChicagoMusicRevealed.com, so be sure to head over there. Of course, as I always say, we love it when you comment. We love it when you like it, share it, all that good stuff. So if you have a question for Jimmy, hit us up. We're over on Chicago Music Revealed's Facebook page today, so head over there to leave us a comment and interact with us. And one last point of interest, I'm also the director of programming and entertainment at the Epiphany Center for the Arts, soon to be opening in the West Loop, right there on Adams and Ashland, 201 South Ashland. So check all the information out at epiphanyshy.com. We are going to be launching an entire music series starting in September. So be the first to get all the information right over there, epiphanyshy.com. All right, without further ado, I'm going to bring everybody on. Dave Katzman, are you there?
I am. How you doing, Mike?
I'm great. And Dave, we've got a special guest today. I know he's a longtime friend of yours, the blues legend Jimmy Johnson's on the phone. Jimmy, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Dave. How long have you known Jimmy? Because I mean, he's a blues legend. He's played all over the world a million times over. But I know you've known him for quite a long time as well, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, I couldn't even remember when I met you, Jimmy. But I'm sure it was back on the Lincoln Avenue days, like Wise Fools and Alice's Revisited and all that. I was finally almost old enough to drink, so I was able to get to the bars and listen to you guys. And it was back then, but we've been friends a long time. Chicago Music, when I worked over there, a long gone store, and of course, the 21 years I did at Legends. Yeah, Jimmy's a good friend.
Yeah, that was about 45 years ago.
Wow.
Yep, that's
man,
about right.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Well, talk a little bit,
and
Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to say, every time I play with Jimmy, even up to today, it's like going to school. He teaches me every time I play with him. I really appreciate that. He's made me a way better guitar player.
Well, you're very welcome.
All right. So Dave, why don't you take a couple of first questions here, and I'll chime in as I normally do on Fridays. By the way, I should preface all of this. We're doing it by phone today. We had a little Skype issues, so we all decided let's just do it by phone so the audio would be clear, so we can just relax and enjoy and talk about the blues and tell stories and learn more about Jimmy's extensive career. So Dave, take it away.
Well, boy, I don't even know where to start, but let's start in the present. Like you said, Mike, when we were talking before, we want to mention that Jimmy does a live streaming show from his house every Saturday at 2 o'clock. And tell us a little bit about how that's been going, Jim.
Did you say Friday?
I said Saturday.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, right. Okay. Well, I can't complain. It probably wouldn't do any good anyway. But considering, man, I'm doing great. Because you ever hear the old saying is, when you make money, you save some for a rainy day?
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I made money. I saved it for a rainy day. And guess what? It's raining.
it's pouring rain, I think.
Oh, yeah.
In more ways than one, you know. This whole world is crazy. But one of the things I wanted you to go over, which is, you know, a lot of people are doing streaming and they're kind of just playing their sets and things like that. What is so interesting about you is you're doing a rhythm and electronic bass that triggers off of your guitar. And tell us about all that.
Well, actually, the first time I went on the stage doing it with Dave down at Legends, and I was scared to death. But now I done got used to it, because I used to, when I was down there with Dave, I had two guitars, and I would actually, I play in about at least six different tunings, and I would have a bunch of guitars set up in tune, but the crowd would get so loud, I couldn't hear how to tune, but I found this, it's called a GV99 by Roland. It tuned it for me.
So you actually started doing this stuff when Dave was down at Legends? That's the first time you started to working on this technique, huh?
Dave, how long you been away from Legends?
Oh, boy, I left in 2010. And we started in 1989, and I was there for that 21 years at the original club. And then when they moved, I left. But I remember when you brought that stuff in, and I'm like scratching my head going, okay, Jim, what are you going to do now? And it was a process, but you did get it together. And the thing that really, well, there's multiple things about it, but the bass line that plays off of your guitar lines is a pretty cool thing. How is that accomplished?
Well, actually, you never did see this guy because he didn't ever come on the blues circuit. Not the Guitar Red, you know. This was a different Guitar Red. And when I saw him, and I was looking for the bass player, there was no bass player. So I met him, and he showed me how he did different tunings. So I tuned the bass strings down in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah, you were actually playing two parts with your hands at one time. I remember that.
That's what I be doing now.
Yeah, that's an interesting technique. And you're also you're using a rhythm machine. And what are you doing with your feet?
Everybody think that I ain't using no machine. Everything you hear, I'm playing it.
Right, you're tapping the beat.
I got a kick with my foot. And I got a kick, a snare, and a cymbal. But mostly I just use the kick because it gets very complicated to try to use them, playing my foot on two and four.
Hey, Jimmy, is that technique the technique you were using at Lagunitas? Because I remember until COVID hit, you were there every Sunday playing, right?
I did that. I've been there for 5 years.
Yeah. You're not back there yet, right?
Back too.
Well, I had the, I got a Roland a VC-99, but it don't make no sound. It just changes, it transposes the notes on the guitar. It retunes it for me. I don't use no gadget. When I play, whatever you heard coming out there, I was playing it. I ain't got no sequence or no tape or no nothing.
Wow.
Oh, I do have a harmonizer. That's
true.
Right. Yeah. I kick it in when I get ready.
You're right.
But there ain't no sequence. I just kick it in, and it like adds two notes with my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very good one. The guitar go through it, and the mic go through it. And the mic, it hear this. You know what intervals are?
Sure, yeah.
What
intervals?
Like if you don't have something to change the intervals, the harmony will get bad.
Right. But absolutely.
It hears the chord. When you play the chord, it hear it, and it changes the intervals. I know what it is. I went to school for music.
All three of us did.
But for instance, say if you're playing, I play things with different chord changes. If you're playing in C and you go to the sixth where you play the minor, it changes that one note. And if you're playing in C and you play a D, that's supposed to be a minor. And it changed that one note. It wouldn't be the right harmony.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a ton of sense. You know, I don't want to jump over Dave's lead here, but I gotta ask you, Jimmy, because I interviewed you last year at Delmark Records, and I know that you have, I mean, you have an incredible recording that's just coming out on Delmark Records, right? Talk a little bit about that. Isn't it a double disc or something?
Jim?
Oh, who are you talking to?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm talking to you, Jimmy. I'm talking to you.
I thought you were talking to Dave. No, I'm talking to you about that.
We're talking to you.
About that new double disc you've got.
Well, one of them is live at La Guanita's, just me and another person.
Right.
And it really sounds good. It's for two people. When you hear it, you think it was more than two people. I don't know exactly when he going to put it out. But my new one, my voice wasn't in good shape when I recorded it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay.
Well, I know talking.
Well, it's getting a lot of press. How is that?
I know talking to Elbio, well, man. That, him and Elbio and Julia are just raving about the recording and about being able to put it out and having you on the label and all that. And I remember when I was there last year and you and I talked before the Blues Fest. And, you know, since we just kind of passed the Blues Fest time and obviously everything's virtual and everything, how many Chicago Blues Fests have you played on? Because you must have been there right from the beginning, right? I mean, it's probably an insane amount of times you've played on that festival.
Ain't no way I could tell you how many. When it first started out at Neighbor Pier.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The very first one I was on it, and at Navy Pier, I did it every year. It was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that was when Jane Byrne was in. And then when they got this, what's his name? Somehow they cut it out. Wouldn't let him do it. And they wouldn't let him do it in Millennium Park. They wouldn't let him. They brought it. It was somewhere there. But I played there that year too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that or not.
No, Chicago Fest went over to Soldier Field for the last year.
Right. When it went to Soldier Field, I played that too. And then when they went out to the other park.
Grant Park, I think, right?
Right.
Yep.
Grant Park, right.
Yep.
So, no, I didn't play every year. I was playing every year for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's my other line ringing, but I ain't going to answer. Don't worry about it. I don't know who it is. Yeah, I know who it is. I call them back.
Okay.
But anyway, I had a little problem after. I don't know how many years I played there, but I played there maybe 2 or 3 years. And I know some of the people that on the committee.
Mm-hmm.
And Stevie Ray Vaughan was gonna play. They gave him $15,000. So I said, "Whoa, I'm not playing for $1,000, man. Give me two." No, Jimmy, you can't do that. Stevie Ray Vaughan draw more people than you. Yeah, but it's free.
Yeah, right.
At Navy Pier, they paid.
Okay.
But ever since then, Grant.
Well, Chicago Fest. Yeah, Chicago Fest was different than the Blues Fest. Different company and everything. It wasn't the city.
Free, and it's still free.
It was free.
Well, now. Stevie Ray Vaughan, I had something against him, but how could you pay him $15 and don't want to pay me too? So I don't remember if you remember Bill Gilmore, do you?
Sure.
Yep.
He was one of the owners of Blues. Right.
Well, he was on the committee. He was the one I was talking to. So, well, Jimmy, we're going to pay you $1,000. Take it or leave it. So I left it. I just left it. So I was out of there for maybe about probably 4 or 5 years.
Oh.
And then he started to come up. Then it wasn't Bill Gilmore. It was, what's his name? He retired.
Barry Dolan. Barry Dolan. Dolan's, yeah.
Dolan. Bill Dolan, yeah.
Yeah.
So Barry. He came up and gave me a good price. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. It wasn't $15, but it was way more than them. Them little pennies.
Well, and last year they honored you at Millennium Park too.
That was about time. And the guy
Johnson Day.
Yeah, the guy they got booking nowadays, He's a very nice guy. I didn't even have to bargain for the money. He paid me well from the get-go.
Yep, that was that's Carlos, Yep.
Carlos. Yes, Carlos,
that's
it. Yep. We both know Carlos well. So I kind of want to move on to a little bit of history. I mean, obviously, you have been a very important part of the Chicago blues scene for many years. And you, over the years, were able to play with some of the most amazing players. And I want to kind of get a feel for a couple of them, what it was like to play with them. Basically, the two I'm most interested in are Magic Sam and Freddie King. You know.
Well, I never, I never played in a band. I just, so like Magic Sam, he used to live next door to me. And when I first started playing guitar, I was 29 years old. And it was in 1958. Wow. And I used to go with Sam play. And I saw how popular he was. So then I decided to pick up a guitar and start playing. And Sam was one of the first guys let me come on stage and play. And then Freddie King was a guy that used to let me sit in and play. I couldn't play very well, but he let me play. One time he called me up to play with him. He had the drummer was named TJ and the bass player was named Mojo. He only had three pieces. So when I went up to play, TJ and Mojo walked off the stage. They wouldn't play with me. So Freddie came up and said, that's okay, Jimmy. And took his guitar, let me and you play. So that's what we did, me and Freddie.
Wow. And you did a bunch of years, I remember. Well, I don't know how many years, but I do remember you were in this Rush band in the 70s. And Otis is a good friend of, was a good friend of mine, and, you know, obviously a good friend of yours. What was it like touring with Otis?
Well, I was friends with Otis for many moons. When I knew Otis before I started even playing guitar, because I went to I saw Otis, because, you know, Matt, my brother's bass player, Matt and Phil was playing way before me, and I used to go with Mac in 708 Club, and I saw Otis. And Mac showed him to me and said, man, that cat over there can play. And the first time he went on the stage, that's who I wanted to play like.
Oh, yeah. Well, there.
I still can't play like him.
First off, he plays played upside down. You know?
Yeah, well, that is the difference. Because he pulled down while you'd be getting up.
Right. And believe me, I've tried doing that bend up as much as he would pull down. You could get an extra step out of pulling an E string down instead of bending it up. And him and Albert King and, you know, Jimi Hendrix, I mean, those guys got to bend like no right-hander.
No, you're wrong about Jimi Hendrix now, because he strung his guitar upside down. He strung his guitar. He's playing left-handed, but he's playing the same way you play. He's pushing up.
Okay.
He put the E on the bottom instead of on the top.
I gotcha. Well, he still got stretches that none of us can get.
Albert King play upside down.
Right. And you really can get a whole different bend out of the string that way. Absolutely.
It's easier to pull down than it is to bend up.
It's true.
Well, you guys are like a couple of guitar players talking shop here, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm talking to one of the masters.
I know. I'm saying. It's great.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So back in the day, what were the clubs that you really dug playing at, like in the 50s and 60s?
Who, me?
Yeah, you. We're talking to you, Jeff.
Oh, let me see. Well, you know how I was with these joints. Actually, most clubs that you play, they're not playing with you because of your talent. You're playing for them, and they hire you to play if they can make money with you.
Mm-hmm.
So that you don't get no special treatment from no club. The only time I got special treatment is with Lagunitas.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Legends, they treat me just like they do the waiter or somebody. I'm just another guy up there playing music for them. They don't give me no, they don't roll out no red carpet.
Right.
You know, that brings up a good point, though, Jimmy, because, what you know, you're in Chicago, and I've always contended, I know Dave can talk all about this, too, but, I mean, you know, you're in Chicago, everybody's like, oh, it's Jimmy Johnson, even at Legends, oh, okay, come on in, you know, great, whatever, you're going to play. But you go on tour, you get the red carpet treatment, don't you, when you go on tour, when you go over to Europe and all that stuff? I mean, that's a whole different ball game, isn't it?
Oh, man, like you said, that's a different ball game.
Yeah.
But now I'm not, see, like the place to play is Legends.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the guys play. If you don't play at Legends, you must not live in Chicago. But anyway, they don't treat you bad, but they ain't going to roll out no red carpet.
What
and
happened?
Blues on Hofstede the same way. And the case of mine, I quit playing there. It wasn't because of the money. It was because of, I can't
say. Long night.
Because I can't, you know what's hard to do? You say something bad about somebody. I'd rather just not say nothing.
Right, right.
Because I could say something bad about him, but I'm not going to say it.
Well, what's it like when you go over in Europe and stuff and play as a Chicago blues master coming over there? I mean, what happens over there? You must say the red carpet must be rolled out. I mean, I know that so many people show up to see you over there. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah. Everywhere you go, when you're on stage, you're Jesus Christ. When I just put that guitar down and put on some blue jeans and some gym shoes and don't have no guitar, you become. I don't know the word you would say, but you become a brother if you know what that word means. I believe it. They really, they don't discriminate as much as the United States, but still, you're not one of them. How is that?
Well, what are the audiences like over in Europe? I mean, when you're playing, I mean, they worship like musicians from the States and especially blues musicians. I mean, even going to Asia and everywhere else, I mean, they just hang on every note from everybody I've ever talked to.
Oh, yeah. But now, there is a reason. Say, like, when you're here in Chicago, you got 7 days a week, you can go listen to some blues, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can go listen to a black blues band most every night in Chicago. But see, in Europe, you go into a little town, they don't have no concert maybe twice a year. So that makes a big difference. But now they do really, so like in Europe, you get more radio play and you are considered as somebody, not like here. But even say like out of town, they don't roll out no red carpet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different animal, different animal.
Yeah.
You know, and Japan is even more attentive. I've never been to Japan. But I know Jimmy has, you know.
Oh, yeah, that first time I really, in life, I really felt like, wow, I'm somebody. Because they met us at the airport the first time I went there in 75, like they do the Beatles when they come here. Oh. They met us at the airport with signs and cartoons. And then, I'm telling you, I used to be on the stage playing and singing in Japan and look out in the audience, I could see many people crying.
Wow.
Huh. Crying. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. They still into it a lot, but they got a little bit used to it. But back then, in the 70s, man, this was brand new for them.
That's right. That's right. I never even thought about it that way. I mean, you know, and the fact that they didn't have the access, you know, on internet and all that other stuff to even witness any of this, it had to be something just completely astonishing to them and so exciting to hear the music live. It's incredible, you know. So Dave, you got a couple more questions for Jimmy. I know you probably could probably talk for like 3 hours. So I know you're
well,
going over stuff, trying to pick out what to ask him.
You know, actually, I think we've covered quite a lot. If there's anything Jimmy wants to say, I'll put a little plug in. Jimmy and I are going to be playing in September together.
Oh, where at?
Hey Donnie.
Yeah, but did you ever hear the old this song, Don't Start Me to Talk and I Tell Everything I Know? I know they heard it. You probably did hear it.
Yeah, that's a great song. That's a good one.
Sonny Boy Williams?
Yes, it was.
Don't Start Me to Talk and Don't I Tell Everything I Know. We ain't going to talk no politics. I think I told Dave that yesterday.
I might
say something kind of like about the system, but not about politics. That's a no-no on the air, because I might would have to say something bad.
Yeah, well.
But I would like to say this. Now, when I'm talking to Caucasian people, mm-hmm. the first thing I explain to them, I am not bitter. I am not salty. I don't have no bad taste in my mouth. I'm not angry, and I'm not mad. But I was born black, and I'm going to die black. But I don't want to die because I'm black.
Well, that's a powerful way to say it. I never even heard it that way. That's incredible, Jimmy.
Well, I guess you could see it happening.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And when I really look at this situation, like most of this, I lived it. Like you can have imagination because you would never have the same feel I do because you never walked in my shoes. Mm-hmm. You can imagine how it was, but there's no way you could get the real feeling.
I don't even think I could imagine it. You know what I mean? I don't even think I could imagine it.
But guess what? When I was a kid growing up, my father told me a lot of things. And one thing he told me is take the world as you find it, because you can't change it. Mm. But now we got all these people protesting in thousands of them. Cool. But what good would it do just little one me? Complaining, nothing.
Right.
So I have to live with it. And some of the things, like what Martin Luther King did, he really brought the stuff to the light, and everything changed drastically. But he died.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that I would have never did. I'm a coward. I ain't gonna get up there with these protests and let them kill me. Now, say like these people that the police killed. People don't never say, you could have saved your own life if you really wanted to. Because, remember how I said my daddy told me, and my daddy told me this, you never fight a losing battle. If you know it's a losing battle from the beginning, don't fight it. Live. The next day, you might be able to fight a little better.
Mm.
Or like the boy they killed down in Atlanta. He made the first mistake, driving drunk.
Right.
But now I don't condone what the police did. No. They did not have to shoot him.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
But say like this cop, see the way you look at it. They give cops, they got a certain amount of clout, and he got a gun. If you have a weapon, he got the right to shoot you. So now this cat had a taser. So this policeman had been waiting for this chance, a black person pull a weapon so he could shoot him. That's the way I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way, I know you remember the Van Dyke and McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what do you think Van Dyke was? He did not have to shoot that kid 16 times.
No.
What you have to figure, they don't train the police right. You got to know how to deal with a person not at their right mind. And this McDonald guy, how do you figure he was at his right mind? He got a little old pocket knife and gonna fight 10 cops with guns.
Well, you know, and with all of your experiences too, Jimmy, I mean, in all the clubs and all the travel and stuff, you must have seen some unbelievable things similar to this that just never got reported, right? I mean, it's this kind of stuff because of social media is finally coming out. So, I mean, I think the good thing is that this is finally coming out. But, I mean, in your past, I mean, all the travel and all the different places you've been, I'm sure you could write 10 books talking about the different things you've seen.
I'm from Mississippi.
Yeah.
So, like, you familiar with the Van Dyke case, right?
Sure, yeah, sure.
Sure.
Why did it take them a year to show that video? They were trying to keep it undercover.
Yeah, of course.
If they don't show the video, this guy was going to claim he lunged at me with a knife and I had to shoot it. Well, now stop and think about this. Well, we know the video convicted him. But the first two shots, the guy went down. Why you keep shooting him?
Yeah.
He went down with a little old pocket knife. You shoot him two times, and he hit the first time he spun around. Then the second time he went down. Why did you have to shoot him 14 more times? That's because that's what you were waiting for a chance to do. You caught a black person with a weapon, you had a right to shoot him.
That's right. Yeah, no, it's
sad.
It's sad, and it's, you know, it's just such a, you know, systemic problem throughout the entire country in that system, and hopefully because of all these protests and everything that everybody's finally doing in movements, you know, well, you know, it's been too long for this to be going on like this, so hopefully something will happen and something will change. Because of all of this, you know, this publicity, unfortunately, that happened about it, and things will finally change. And, you know, I'm glad you're talking about it because we don't talk about that this much on the show. And for somebody who's 90 some odd years old and a blues legend talking about this kind of stuff and with the passion you are, I'm so happy you're talking about this because it's important for everybody to hear about it.
Well,
there's a thing here, too, happening today is there's a conversation happening. And the world is listening, and it's not really ever been addressed where people actually stopped and listened to what has to change. And that's the beginning of change. You know?
That's right.
Let me give you my input, because what you said is, I believe the same thing. There's going to be some drastic changes. And you know one of the reasons why? Because before, remember back when Martin Luther King got killed,
mm-hmm.
and the Los Angeles riot they had, people were totally right. Black. But this time we had white people going with us. Therefore, you're going to have to make some changes.
That's a great point. You're right. That's a great. It's the diversity
true.
Of the crowds and the protests. It's amazing. I've never seen anything like that.
I hadn't even. I couldn't believe it when I looked.
Yeah.
All the white people.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Everyone. I mean, yeah. You know, Hispanic. I mean, you know, everyone is protesting against this, and I think that is to your point, Jimmy, and it's a great point. That's why things are finally going to change because it's finally.
It's going to change. It probably won't change to be. Be totally right.
Mm-hmm.
But just like Martin Luther King, you probably don't realize what a difference he made. Because let me explain this to you. Before Martin Luther King was out there, man, we couldn't eat in restaurants.
Right.
We couldn't sleep in hotels. And many other things that we didn't get until Martin Luther King came. And you know what? People wonder, how did he do this? One of the best things you can do is nonviolent.
Mm-hmm.
All they had to do was bring them cameras in. Because what do they say? They say they teach democracy. And what kind of democracy is that? You be good to these people, but be bad to them people. And they always say, God created all men equal.
That's right.
Well, why you treat me unequal?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a man.
Well, you're right on, and you know, with all of the touring you've done, you brought up a great point. I mean, you were playing gigs in the, you know, all over the country where there was, you know, a lot of discrimination happening in the 50s, 60s, 70s. I mean, people don't think about any of that stuff, but you know, all of the different things that you went through just being on the road like that and playing. I mean, can you remember some of those spots? I mean, it was all throughout the country, wasn't it?
Let me interject a little bit.
When you left Chicago, you was in a different world.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I toured for 17 years, and most of the touring I did was with blues bands or reggae bands or African bands, and a lot of times I was the only white guy on the tour. And the difference in reactions, especially in the South, and the way we got treated and things like that was, you know, I'm a white guy just observing this. I don't have to wake up every day and deal with the kind of things that were done wrong to good people, you know, and it's angered me all my life. But to hear what people are saying now and to see a change and see a conversation happening and a nation addressing it, it's long overdue, but it's good. It's happening. It's really good. It's happening.
It is.
Yeah.
All right. So we should probably wrap this up because boy, we've been talking for a while here, and Jimmy, I really appreciate you being on the show. I want to make sure we tell everybody Saturdays, the live stream's at 2 p.m. on Jimmy Johnson's Facebook page. Check it out. We're going to link it up down below. And Dave, before I let both of you go, why don't you talk a little bit about this Hey Nani gig you're going to be doing in Arlington Heights and when it is and all that stuff. And then we'll plug it again, of course, down the road. But this is kind of exciting because I'm trying to make sure everyone knows there's actually live music happening, starting to happen again in the Chicagoland area in person. So tell us what are you and Jimmy going to be doing at Hey Nani?
Well, there's a band that I put together of all my friends, and it's called the Chicago Blues Super Session. And it's Jimmy and Billy Flynn, Bob Strozier, Kenny Smith, Deidre Farr, John Katke, Melvin Smith, and myself. And it's a whole lot of fun. I mean, we have a ball every time we do it. The thing is, I can't get all those people together at one time because they're going all different directions all over the world before COVID, obviously.
Right.
But we always have a great time. What do you think about it, Jim?
Oh, yeah. It's really great to, because I guess you realize I haven't had a band since 2004 because I got really tired of it. When I get a gig, the big guy you see played the drums. Mm-hmm. I just tell him I got a gig, man. Call me some guys to play. Cause really? And I'm going to tell you, that's when I really made money, man. When I stopped leaving the band, when I go to Europe, do you know I come back with all of my money?
Yeah, how about that?
And guess what? I bought all them headaches.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably are pretty relaxed, too.
But now there's a downside. The musicians are not going to be like our musicians, but I don't know how well y'all know me. I can adapt. Some people couldn't adapt.
Right.
I can adapt with them cats, and I ain't going to try to change them, make them play like me. I'm going to adapt and play with them.
Well, we have a great time with Van again. It's the Chicago Blues Super Session. We'll be playing September 10th, if that ever comes. It feels like it's a million years away, but that's the first gig I got coming up. I'm looking forward to it, Jim.
What you think about me? My last real gig was March the 12th. And I
was the 15th.
I don't have no gig scheduled except that. But anyway, before we split, I always like to have the last word.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now, here's one of the words I would like to say to everybody. And you know that I'm 91.
Wow.
And I'm in good shape. But do you want to know how I got there?
How?
Being kind.
Oh.
That's number one. But now, then your eating habits and stay away from alcohol and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I was fortunate enough to do that. But one of the main things, be kind. That's your best bet. Because when you once get angry, it'd be taken away from you. And those haters, I would like to tell the haters that hate other people for whatever reason, don't hate, change that hate for love. And if you can't do that, then change that hate for like. And if you can't do that, you're going to hang on to that hate don't forget respect.
Mm.
And let me tell everybody this. Do your part to make the world a better place. And please, everybody, go out and vote.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Jimmy, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on today for the Blues Friday show. And, man, you know, continued success. We're going to check you out on your live stream. And hopefully we'll see you September 10th or maybe even sooner in person.
Well, man, it's been a real pleasure talking with you.
It's been our all pleasure. Right, appreciate it, Jimmy. Thanks so much.
So you be cool, Dave.
Okay, I'll be talking with you soon, Jim.
All right.
All right, take care.
Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Dave, that was quite an interview, man. Good work setting Jimmy Johnson up today. Wow, that was fun.
Well, he is not only a good friend, and he really truly is a good friend. He's an amazing guitar player.
He is.
And his voice is superior. And just being on stage is a blast with him, and even just hanging out with him is a blast. So,
and he's 91. I can't believe he's 91. Yeah. The energy he's got cranking at 91. I mean, man, he's ready to go.
He's in better shape than me. He's in better shape than me. And you know, if I could grow up and be like Jimmy Johnson, I'd be doing okay.
All right, so we're going to take next week off for the Blues show because it's July 3rd, so we're going to celebrate the 4th of July holiday. And the week after that, do we have the guest already lined up? I know we were talking
about somebody.
Do. All right, who is it?
Yeah, it's Billy Flynn.
Oh, outstanding.
That's amazing Billy Flynn. Grammy Award winning. The Mr. Library knows every blues tune ever written.
Yeah. Well, he's played with everybody that's written all the tunes too, which is
how about it?
Yeah.
And again, he's another member of the Super Session, and a good friend also.
Yeah.
So, Mike, thank you so much. This is always a blast. It's been getting really good.
Yeah,
we've been having some good ones.
We have. All right, go get some rest. Have a good weekend, and okay. We'll circle back after the 4th. So, thank you, sir. And I want
okay. And thank you.
All right, take care, Dave.
Okay, bye now.
All right. And I want to thank everybody here just checking this show out. You know, it's a lot of fun talking to these blues legends and music legends every week and talking to people every day about all of the different things that are happening on the scene. And having Jimmy Johnson on talking about, you know, social justice. He is the guy to talk about that just because of so many things he's done throughout the years. I mean, he has experienced so much. So I'm glad he brought that up. We had a great conversation with him about that. But, you know, the words to live by, right? The last words he said, be kind. And that's a good couple of words to take into the weekend. Be kind. So I want to thank everybody for checking out the show. Whole set of new shows coming up next week. We are going to be live here again on Monday at 6 p.m. Everybody stay safe this weekend. Stay healthy. Stay socially distant. Don't go crazy because the clubs are open. Everybody stay socially distant. If you go out, wear your mask. And we will be back here on Monday. Tell your neighbors. Tell your family. Call the grandkids. 6 p.m. Chicago Music Revealed every day right here. We'll see you at the next broadcast. Stay safe.